Welcome to the Agenda Fluid Podcast. I'm Ben.
And I'm Donovan. So, Ben,
all right,
we're going to talk about a particular topic in this one.
Purpose.
Purpose. Okay, that's and it. Let's go.
Yep. Find a purpose. And I guess, I mean, this is for, anybody. Should we define what we mean by purpose? We're talking about purpose.
Yeah.
And I wrote down a couple of things. Life fulfilling stuff.
Okay.
Reasons for feeling. And that's, things you do, not necessarily to have a sense of a better feeling, but things you do that wind up giving you that feeling.
A reason to get up and get out of bed every morning.
Yeah. I mean, they could call it ambition. They could call it motivation. But those aren't the things. I think the purpose is behind the scenes there. You know, you have ambition or you have motivation because you have a purpose.
Well, how about let's take it back and let's say when we are kids, when we're younger, you know, even before we start school or maybe even when we start school, what is our purpose? We're told our purpose is to learn, to be a kid, and to, I guess, get life skills so that one day, if we're lucky and we're not killed in a school shooting, that we may become adults and enter society and become a contributing member of this collective. Do you agree with that or not?
Yeah, that's a general, that's the purpose that was given to you. That's what your parents told you your purpose was. But
that's true.
Internally, I don't know how to explain childlike happiness. I don't have a particular collection of ordered words to describe that. There was no, I guess there was an inner driver. Mm. But it never wondered what tomorrow was, unless it was my birthday or Christmas. But we didn't think about tomorrow. I mean, look at the kind of decisions we made up, in our early 20s.
Mm.
Fuck. We live like there's no tomorrow. And honestly, mm-hmm. I'm starting to see that now. To see the world from a child's eye. Or through a child's eye. And when you start to worry about this or that, or you think about the future, or you're concerned with the past, fuck it. The past is done. It's immutable.
Yeah.
The future is not here yet. I guarantee you, no one has ever seen tomorrow. Never.
Well, except those time traveling assholes that keep, cropping up in social media, Instagram, that kind of thing.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Can I find the links in the flat Earth videos to those time travelers?
Hey, there's not to get off topic, but there's one I saw about a month or so ago where the guy he said he was from, I think he was from the year 2055 or 2065. And he gave.
They improved the flashlight yet?
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody's flashlight is now a fleshlight, but.
But does it have a light on it?
A tiny one.
And what's the range on the Cybertruck for real?
The range on the Cybertruck is no longer made.
But they still exist because they're made out of fucking stainless steel with expired batteries.
Yeah, the guy, he gave like, okay, the end of the United States was essentially in the year like 2033. And then he explains how it all happened. And he gave all these milestones and stuff. But anyway, that's off topic. I mean, that's purpose. Let's see if we can actually make it to the end of the United States, right?
Well, fuck, Nostradamus must have a terrible agent because I've never seen him. He's not touring. Pretty good comedy routine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right, though. I mean, I can tell you this, as a child, especially whenever I was in school, before I got into my more, I guess, informative teenage years, my purpose was getting through the fucking day and getting home so I could watch cartoons. That was my primary purpose. Or once I finally got a computer, it was getting home and getting on that damn computer and just, you know, futzing around or playing games or whatever. And then a longer purpose was to get to summer. You know, looked forward to getting out of damn school and being able just to screw off during summer, knowing that in the back of my mind that that was a very short time, even though it seemed a much longer time back then than the summer is today.
Yeah.
But
I think it's literally shorter now.
It's got to be. It's got
to
be.
We used to have like 3 full months. And I think Beth's out of, she's out of work for summer for 9 weeks.
Well, they also go back, what, 2-3 weeks early or something before the school starts?
Well, no, she goes back like 2-3 days early for pre-planning.
Oh, okay. So it's, I thought so it was at least a week.
School starts
in August.
Damn near end of July.
Yeah. See, I distinctly remember school starting at the end of August, beginning of September. And we still were. Labor Day. Yeah. Yeah. And we were still getting out around end of May, I think.
Memorial Day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
But yeah, that was my driver. It was getting home at 4 o'clock every day, get off the bus and take a shit and then go play with my best friend. We're getting into something, fixing motorcycles or going somewhere, riding our bikes to some girl's house. Yeah. That was just in the moment, whatever. Oh, Tony's called us wants us to come and go swim. So we'll go that day. We'll go to Tony's. We had no plan yesterday to go to Tony's today. Mm-hmm. We just planned that on the way to Tony's. I kind of like that. I like that. Not stressing and not worrying over what the future holds. You can't just be in a hot air balloon forever. But
true,
you can enjoy moments and know that every crazy situation you've been through, you got through it, no matter what it was, and everything's gonna be okay somehow. It might suck a lot of times, but
yeah.
Well, I mean, my brother lost his son in 2018, and I can't imagine. It's really difficult to see anything beyond that at the time. But here we are. Here we are 7 years later, and we're okay. We're not happy about what happened, but we're okay.
Yeah.
We made it. We made it through.
But it does. I can only imagine because, you know, I haven't lost a child, but I have lost both my parents. And I can only imagine that when something like that happens, you have no sense of purpose. It's just like, what is it all for? You know, if at any given moment, and I got to say, I don't know if this is going to diverge from the idea of purpose or not, but I got to say that something that I have done my entire life that just occurred to me is I've always been afraid to be happy because I was afraid that as soon as I got comfortable with being happy, something or someone, some situation was going to come along and just destroy it and just fuck it all up for me.
I think that's entirely human.
So I'm not an outlier.
No. I think about it from the perspective of early humans in the Serengeti, where at any moment of any day, you could be mauled by anything or step on the wrong plant or whatever. So an innate hyper awareness of doom is probably a bit natural.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. I mean, they definitely, I would imagine that they did not look and think about the future. They were they were thinking about the now. They see the lion and the now. I need to get the fuck away from this lion, you know, or what have you.
Or and, that woman you got pregnant. You need I need to get away from her now.
Yeah, now.
I'm going to go hunting.
Yeah. So it's...
We didn't it's funny. I've got this theory that we as a socially or behaviorally, we began the decline at the time that we started to measure time. Until then, there was nothing called tomorrow. There was nothing that even approached a 4:30 Zoom meeting real quick. Nothing for you to go, oh shit, I can't do that right now because I've got to do this in 45 minutes.
Yeah, because all you had to deal with, I mean, you knew that it got light and you woke up and you knew that it started getting dark and you started getting tired and went to bed.
Yeah, when shadow is long,
yeah,
lay down.
You didn't know it was Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday.
Every day was Saturday.
Yeah, every day was Saturday. And you know, that is something that I can sort of relate to in a weird way. So when Tyler was here, we spent two Fridays and one Saturday working on projects. And so that one Friday where we were fixing the rotted out bottom plate of one of the walls in the sunroom, that entire day, I was just where I was as far as in the day, as far as time was concerned, was never really on my mind. You know, occasionally I'd look at my watch, but it wasn't like, oh, got to get this done. I was running on how I need to get this fixed before I run out of steam, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the following Friday and Saturday was even more ambiguous because we essentially spent from like 10 o'clock that morning to about 6 o'clock that afternoon on that Friday and then did the same damn thing again on Saturday. Took breaks for lunch or what have you. And I really didn't care about the time until we got close to the end on Saturday. And I said, let's target trying to get finished with this by 6 o'clock, maybe a little after. But the weird thing is, as much of a hassle, as much of the heat, being tired, getting injured, you know, little cuts and scrapes and shit like that. I was in this weird moment of peace because all I had to do was focus on getting this shit torn down and getting the new stuff put back up. I didn't have to worry about whose fucking email wasn't working. You know, I didn't have to worry if they couldn't print to the goddamn printer from their fucking phone. I didn't have to worry about any of that. All I needed to worry about was how I was going to get this fucking nail out of this wall. You know, almost just basic caveman mentality in a weird way.
Yeah.
And I was fucking exhausted both days, but it was just like this, you know, it's weird to say it, but this happy exhaustion.
It wasn't mental exhaustion.
No, it was, my brain was fine. My body was like, I'm checking out, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So
I get it. I mean, I can work outside all day on a Saturday in 100 degrees, burning fires, getting absolutely filthy. I think last Saturday or maybe Sunday, I mowed, I think for 7 hours. I ran two tanks of fuel through the mower.
Damn.
Yeah. You haven't seen this place yet.
No,
it's fucking ridiculous. We cut down a bunch of trees and just made more goddamn lawn to mow.
So now you know your purpose to mow.
but I wasn't down. You know, on a Thursday at 4:30, I'm ready to crash. I haven't lifted a finger, but I'm ready to crash.
Yeah,
because my head's tired.
Exactly.
I haven't really had to figure anything out, but I've just had to deal with people and finances and how to sell this or how to grow the business or
people.
What kind of bullshit's going to happen next? Or the phone, I get a text message. I hear the notification and I go, oh, fuck. I was just about to start something to improve something, but no, here it is.
That's the reason why years ago I had to put my phone on silent. I could, because I would have this Pavlovian response to the phone ringing or the text message sound to where my anxiety level would just shoot through the fucking roof because I'd be like, what fresh hell is this? You know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm, and now my watch still rings, but it's a different thing. I mean, there's something about the default ringtone on an iPhone that is so iconic, but is also so nerve-wracking to me, along with the text sound. And I know I can fucking change it, but I just went, how about I just make sure I let it vibrate, you know, in my pocket next to my NADS or something. I don't know. And that's like today, I'm still finalizing this thing with the VLANs, which I'm pretty sure I blew out some brain cells yesterday working on this thing for 3 hours. And I'm about, I got something working. And I'm about to write this down because I'm a note taker. I have to write shit down. And even though I can type, I don't even know what I used to. I could type 105 words a minute. I'm probably slower now because I just don't give a shit. Back whenever you had to train on typewriters, you know, accuracy was key. But back in the olden days, but I'm writing this stuff down, and I'm in the zone, and my fucking phone rings, and I look over and I see who it is, and I'm like, no. So I answer the phone. And I literally do not get back to what I was doing for 45 minutes when I realize after I've taken care of what this whole phone call was about, I got onto something else. And then I went, wait a minute, 45 minutes later, I finally realized I need to finish writing what I started writing on this damn notepad. And that.
I can't tell you how many unfinished projects there are in the Linux boxes that I've decommissioned and all the VMs that are probably laying around my file system over here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I get it.
But I mean, but that's our purpose right now is.
Well, I'm talking about a higher purpose. I mean, we do what we do to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
Does it give us a sense of accomplishment? Is it life fulfilling?
No.
Yeah, that's probably why we're depressed.
Yeah, that it is not life fulfilling. Is it life giving? Maybe that's not the right way to say it. It's basically what you hit on there. I mean, we do it because it's our livelihood. It pays the bills. It makes sure that we're fed, our families are fed, we have a roof over our heads, and all of that. And some people would argue that is a sense of purpose. And I'm not going to discount that because I'm not saying that I'm ungrateful. Ungrateful to whom? I don't fucking know. But I'm not saying that I'm ungrateful that I'm able to do what I'm doing. But if you're talking about a higher purpose, albeit maybe even a higher calling, if you want to go to that level. Mm. But, you know, higher calling doesn't mean religion.
Right. But higher calling sort of speaks to an end goal, which speaks to, you know, in the end of life. I'm talking about today.
Well, can you have a higher purpose every day? I mean, I suppose there are some people out there that their higher purpose every day are those people that, oh God, what's that thing that runs around here? Peanut butter and Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm pretty sure those people think that they have a higher purpose every single day. And I'm not one to tell them that they don't. You know, do they go home feeling good about the fact that they helped somebody? They probably do. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it.
I think, I don't know, at the end of the day, have you done anything that you'd want to do again? Are there any days that you'd like to live over again because you just felt so good about how it went?
Well, I can immediately tell you there are some days I'd like to live over again because it went so shitty that I want to correct it, but can't do that.
Right.
But
But if you could recreate a day, I don't know. I can recall a few days that I would say were not wasted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And lately it's probably a day I spent with one of the kids.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say,
or got, you know, did something in the garden with my wife.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say when Tyler was here, when us working on all this stuff, or even when we're not doing that, but we're in my office and we're just nerding out over shit, you know,
like that 3 hour Tiffin, that 3 hour South Geek episode.
Yeah. Like that, you know, like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this was last year. We managed to, before I sold the place over in Fitzgerald, we managed to secure my dad's old Atom, Coleco Atom computer, which is funny because, you know, I was the first one to have one. That was my computer back in 1982. And when everybody else was getting Commodore 64s, I'd already had a Coleco gaming system. And then they came out with a computer system. And so Sears sold those things. And I thought it was the coolest thing. Turned out they were pieces of shit because they rushed them to market and all this other kind of stuff. Well, Tyler was really, really interested in this thing. So we brought it here. I've got about a 2 hour video of him disassembling the unit. And I mean, days, that was one evening. I had two different phones set up. I had my iPhone set up. I had my Android phone that I that I use for mainly listening to podcasts and stuff while I'm on the lawnmower. And so the camera quality is not all that great, but it's not terrible. And so, you know, I've got this and I've put it all together. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but, you know, that because he's interested in that kind of stuff. I didn't necessarily care. But it was interesting to see 1982-83 motherboard and how, you know, we're talking the size of a 20-something inch monitor, probably about a 20-inch monitor. The motherboard's that big in the thing and the big integrated circuits and all this other kind of stuff. Yeah, that's something that I would be like, that was a good day. I could do that one over again. And it typically has to do with the kids too. I mean, this past Sunday, you know, it being Father's Day, and I'm not one, I've told my family this, I don't care for the commercialization of Mother's Day and Father's Day. I feel like that I do enough during the year by what I do to show my appreciation to my wife. Mm-hmm. And whether, you know, there are days I don't feel like I get the same thing in return, but, you know, that's my own problem. But
right.
You know, but that's not to say that we're not going to, quote, celebrate those days. And so Father's Day, you know, we did chimichangas because they asked me, it's like, what do you want to eat? And I'm like, well, let's do chimichangas. And they're like, well, that means you got to cook them. I went, so? Yeah. I enjoy it.
I get to eat them too.
Yeah. And then afterwards, Oriana surprised me. She's like, can we watch Monster Hunter, which is a Mila Jovovich movie from 2020? And I went, Monster Hunter? Yeah. Neither one of us had seen it. We talked about it. And she loves Mila Jovovich. She loves all the Resident Evil movies, except the last one. We don't talk about it. It doesn't exist. But, and so we watched that. And then afterwards, she's like, now, can we watch the latest Kong movie? And I'm like, yeah. So we spent the entire Sunday afternoon, the length of those movies, which was somewhere between 3 and 4 hours total, just watching these movies, not doing anything else. You know,
yeah.
Lee was at her desk behind us because that's what she did. She sits at her desk the way the bedroom is arranged. She sits at her desk and the couch is on the other side of her desk facing the television. So she's at her computer usually playing World of Warcraft or trolling Facebook or something. And, you know, she can watch the TV with us. And she even told me when Oriana went upstairs to use the bathroom, she said, I think our daughter's enjoying your Father's Day. I was like, yeah, so am I. So that's definitely that's a day that I could say, yeah, I could do that one over again because it was a good day. You know, my purpose for that day was, you know, to do something with my kid. She wanted to do something. She wanted to do it with her dad. Hell, she's the only one I got left home. The other two are on the other side of the fucking country.
So, I don't know. A purpose, I guess, would be a driver, a motivator.
Motivation for what, though, I guess, would be my question.
Or...
Because you got to have an end goal in mind. I mean, if there's no destination, this is the way I see it anyway. I could be completely off base. If there's no destination in mind, then what do I have to be motivated for? I mean,
your own enjoyment.
That true. And unfortunately, sometimes my own enjoyment requires me to buy things that I can't afford. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's like, I want to buy two of these 16-port PoE switches. I need one in the office. I need one in the house. That's almost $800. Do I need them? No. But I'll have a 10-gig link between the house and here. I got nothing. Yeah. And then, of course, as soon as I realize how much money I've spent, even though I wouldn't come out of pocket immediately, I'd put it on some kind of payment plan. I'd be like, why did I do that? You know, it gave me a sense of happiness and fulfillment when I did it because it was a project that I wanted to do. And now it's completed and I'm going to use the things, but I guess it's the completion of the project. And it's like that happiness is now fleeting. You know, the whole buyer's remorse thing people usually do during Christmas. They spend a shit ton of money. And when January comes and that credit card bill hits, they're like, why did I buy those 17 dildos and give them all to my friends for Christmas?
Because it was funny.
It was funny as hell.
And you had a blast.
Yeah. You know, at what point does that become, do you cross over into irresponsibility? You know, if you're seeking happiness, do you seek happiness as your purpose on a daily basis? Is it okay to be irresponsible occasionally? And I don't mean irresponsible to the point that you hurt somebody or you necessarily hurt yourself. I mean, because I've done that with alcohol. You know, I've chased that happiness. And while I was doing it, I mean, I thought I was a fucking riot and everybody around me was just enjoying everything I was doing. The next day, I realized not only was I a complete asshole, but I felt like shit. Nobody liked me in that state, you know?
Yeah.
So
I guess I'll talk about the past mm-hmm. that we no longer have and the future that we don't have yet. Can you think of a time when you were either frightened out of your mind or enjoying yourself to a point you've forgotten that you haven't turned in your TPS reports? I think those are the things that, maybe not having a car crash, but
yeah,
skydiving or spending time that you enjoy with other people, which is rare for me anyway.
Yeah. I could name two instances where I've been scared out of my mind that I would definitely never want to repeat. One of them was many, many years ago. And I was robbed at gunpoint.
Oh, I've not heard this story.
Yeah. So I'm trying to remember what year it was. So would have been probably around 90, 93, 94, somewhere in there. So I worked for, I say so a lot. I worked for a guy who was a former AT&T microwave tower maintainer, and he bought a Radio Shack dealership over in Fitzgerald, Georgia. So if they ever listen to this, they'll know exactly who it is I'm talking about. And when he left AT&T, he started an interconnect company. And interconnect is basically pulling any kind of cabling, whether it was data cabling, installing telephone systems, alarm systems, surveillance, video, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, this was in the early years before I was working for that side of the business full time. So I still ran the store, and I can't remember if this was like, I don't remember what day of the week it was. So anyway, the store opened, I believe, at like 8 o'clock. And it was me and his youngest daughter. And so I get there and I'm doing my normal thing that I do. We had this you had the building that had the showroom, and then on the right-hand side, if you're facing the building, we had we had a bay because we were the authorized Alltel Cellular installation center for Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'd go in that door, go through the back, come around through the back of the showroom place, and come up, get the money ready, you know, count the till and all of that. Well, I did that, and it never occurred to me. I never had to worry about this. I never locked that other door. And so this particular morning, I'm up there. His youngest daughter's up there, and she was in her, she would have been 18 or 19 at this point, I guess, maybe. And we're counting the money, and I go to turn, and at the door that goes out of the showroom into the back area where you keep stock and stuff, there was this figure that was crouched, and he stood up and started walking toward us. And it was a black guy. Not that that matters, but facts matter. And, you know, we're both frozen with fear. I mean, I saw that and I go, ah, like that, you know? And he starts walking up and he's got this, I guess it might've been like a 38 or something. It was like a short nose revolver type thing. And he walks up to us and, he's like, give me all the cash. And, you know, you always hear, don't fight. Just give them, the stuff. So we can take off. And we only have $100 in the till. So we pull out the money, and my wife had just given me, okay, so this was probably in January. She had given me a gold chain for Christmas. And he's like, give me the gold chain. And I think he took some jewelry off of this guy's daughter too. And then he's like, come on. Come back here with me. And so he forced us to walk to the back, walk into the office, and put us up against the wall where, you know, I was facing the wall. She was butted up right behind me. And the whole time that we're walking back there, he's got the gun in my lower back. And so he's like, y'all don't turn around. And so I count to about 30. I hear the door open. And so I'm fighting to try to get over to the phone so I can call 911. And she's freaking the fuck out. She's like, no, he's going to come back and kill us. And I'm like, no, he's gone. Okay. So I finally get over there, call 911. And, of course the owner and the wife, you know, we get in touch with them. They all come up there. They go get some more money for the till and all of that. We get the cops are of course involved. They catch him right down the road. So yeah. And then his mother, this son of a bitch's mother, had the audacity to request that we don't file charges against him. And I'm like, the fuck you said?
He's a good boy.
Mm. Yeah, well.
Maybe yesterday.
He wasn't today. So yeah, that's something that I do not want to. That's probably the scariest I have ever been in my life.
But it was one of those moments where you weren't worried about the paying the bills next month.
Oh, hell no.
You weren't regretting any decisions you made in the previous years or months. You were living in the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So oh, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about is focusing on what Tolle calls the now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that really has to do with our topic of purpose, but I think a purpose could be to live now.
I mean, it's not the first time that I've heard that, you know, I guess I could see the connection because as you've already pointed out, I mean, we can't know the future and the past is past. We can't go back and change it. What's done mm-hmm. is done. You know, I always love that what happened happened and couldn't have happened any other way.
That's right. Yeah. I like that determinism, they call it.
Yeah. So sometimes I wonder to me, and you and I talked about this a little bit this morning, is there's a part of me that feels like my purpose, even daily, should be to be vocal about things that are wrong in the world, whether it's at the local level, the state level, or the federal level. But at the same time, I'm not entirely sure if that's not just ego, if you follow what I'm saying. It's almost like I think I could be an advocate for X and I can do it better than somebody else. Or maybe there's not enough voices advocating for X. So why don't I get involved and throw my hat in the ring and do that? And I'm so afraid that if I were to do it, okay, number one, we've got the issue of livelihood. Can't jeopardize that unless you can make this thing replace that livelihood and then some, as some people have done. But I'm not that lucky. And then I have to pull back and go, am I just trying to stroke my own damn ego? Is that the purpose of this feeling of having more purpose? Purpose is one of those words where you almost have to define it by the word itself, you know?
Yeah. And that's why I life fulfilling stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, I feel like there's certain things that I could do that would fulfill me more than trying to change a printer from being WSD to the actual IP address so it'll print faster and, well, actually fucking print.
I think automating such a task would be wonderful. Mm. That would be a sense of accomplishment and knowing that you probably will never have to do that again to anywhere.
Do you ever do repetitive tasks that you know you could probably automate, but you do them because you feel like that's something you need to do that gives you purpose?
No, that would just be ego, I think.
Okay.
I'm going to do this because I'm the only one who can. Fuck that. I'm going to detect it and correct it and never hear about it. That would, I would do that. And that wouldn't be for ego. That would be because I don't want to fucking do that anymore. I do not enjoy that. I will automate it.
See, that's like I have a process every morning where I have to go, I have to log into a phone server and.
Yeah, I know.
I told you that.
You've shown me the.
I don't think there's a way to automate that.
There must be.
Sorry, the mosquito guy's running around. I was like, who just cranked up a fucking engine outside my door? Yeah.
There must be, which is probably a topic for another show.
Yeah, but. Yeah. But I mean, it's stuff like that. I mean, it's not because I'm the only one that can do it, but it's technically I am the only one that can do it because I can't hand the keys over to the client and say, here, you need to do this every morning.
I need to do what?
No. Doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't know. The days start to run together.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't remember what day it is a lot of times. I think it's Wednesday.
It is.
I don't remember the past 2 days because they weren't that eventful.
I know what I got to do in the morning. It's Thursday morning. So I've got to complete my grocery shopping in the Walmart app and submit it so that I can go pick groceries up Friday morning. And this is probably going to sound weird, but you already know I'm slightly off. I visualize my days in colors. I've always done that. Now, the color of a day has changed over time, but Thursdays are blue for me. Don't ask me why, but they're blue. Fridays are sometimes red, sometimes a yellowish red, but not quite an orange. Saturdays are black. Now, that doesn't mean that Saturday is a bad day.
It's just the color that it feels like.
Yeah. And then Sunday is yellow. Now,
yeah. I mean, thinking about it, if you were to ask me, Thursday's green, Wednesday's yellow. I don't know why.
Okay.
But yeah, go on.
So my mood is somewhat attached to those colors. So like Monday's probably like a brown day for me. And it's a day that, I mean, I don't like brown. Now, my wife's eyes are brown. Of course, I love her eyes, but I'm just saying the color brown's not my favorite one. So Mondays it's hard for me to be positive on a Monday. But by the time I get to Thursdays, I feel more uplifted, more positive, more jovial. And then, you know, Friday, generally, except for last Friday, where I had to basically break my rule of not working on Friday and, you know, go deal with a dead computer. But Friday and Saturdays are basically like the fucking wheels are off, man. You know, let's party. Woo! Even if I don't have anything to do, you know.
Except cut grass.
I'm cutting grass this weekend, damn it. And we got to paint the back of this thing, this stuff that we put up. We've been putting it off because it keeps raining. Of course, it didn't rain today, but anyway. So, yeah. And so, in a weird way, I guess, I don't know how that necessarily connects to purpose, but I feel like I have a better, more life-fulfilling purpose, potential. Let's put it that way, potential. On starting about Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are my purpose potential days. Sunday, you know, there's a chance that this Sunday I might actually be working because it's the only day that I can take a network down. I don't know yet. I haven't made up my mind. But yeah, Monday and Tuesday definitely are, of all the days of the week that I don't like, those are the 2 days that I do not like because I feel like I'm ineffective and everything just is not going to go the way I want it to go.
Yeah, I get that. Friday's usually pretty good for me. I don't ever plan to work, but I end up working anyway for one reason or another.
Mm-hmm.
This past Friday, I just took off. That was the day I spent 7 hours cutting grass. Saturday, it's usually pretty good outside of soccer season. but Sundays, I try to do nothing, like absolutely nothing because of my anxiety towards Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, no matter what plans I have on a Monday to complete a project or do some research, whatever I've got on my agenda gets steamrolled by somebody's problem. And so I start the week out behind. And then Tuesday, I'm just recovering from Monday.
Yeah.
Wednesday, I start actually getting stuff done that needs to be done. Not my stuff, but the stuff I missed on Monday and Tuesday while I was otherwise busy. Thursday, usually pretty good, but I'm like, well, I'm not going to start anything. Week's almost over.
Mm-hmm.
And so that process just repeats. And that's why days run together because a lot of times they don't go according to my plan. There's very little time that I get to do things that are interesting to me. They just get filled up with password resets or adding users or look at this laptop kind of bullshit.
Or list bombing.
Yesterday, but that shit started at 6 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah, I know you surprised me because I was like, what the fuck is he still working? It's after 5.
I had started a movie. I was watching, I can't remember how to pronounce it, Apocalypto.
Ah.
And he called and he's like, dude, my email's blowing up. I don't know if I clicked a bad link or I was like, oh, God damn it. But no, he got list bombed and everything's okay. But I'd go, all right, yeah, your accounts, we redirected that thing. That shouldn't be coming in anymore. I'll hash this out, you know, tonight. And I went back to my movie.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes later, he called me back. Dude, it's still blowing up. Oh, stop the movie again. Further redirect the alias and lock his mailbox down. Look at some logs. I'm like, I'm gonna let this shit calm down. And I finally did finish the movie, but yeah. And I watched another, but I'm ending every day with just, I can't remember what I was going to do that was so important earlier. Cause I got run over.
Yeah.
I didn't actually do anything. I just fixed a few things for other people. And it feels like that's something anybody could do.
While
I'm just not valuable. I'm not useful.
While you were talking about that, it reminded me of something I saw today and I just looked it up and there's several articles about it, but this one's on Axios and it's called Welcome to the Infinite Workday.
Well, is this from 2005?
No. This is from June 17th, 2025. And it starts out, I won't read the whole thing, of course, but it's like working 9 to 5 was once a way to make a living. in the parlance of Dolly Parton, but the workday today, it never ends. Why it matters. That's the startling finding of a report out Tuesday from Microsoft on the infinite workday, which starts before many knowledge workers get out of bed, ends late at night, and stretches into the weekend. Quote, the modern workday for many has no clear start or finish, write the authors of the Work Trend Index special report, which looked at anonymized data from millions of global users of Microsoft 365's productivity apps like Outlook, Teams, PowerPoint, and et cetera. So I think that connects directly. And see, that's the reason why I've tried my damnedest to put these barriers, these boundaries around my time. Is like, just because you're working at 6:30 doesn't mean I'm going to work at 6:30. You know, and now that's not to say that I don't make special exceptions for certain clients. You just have to. But there comes a point where people need to understand, I don't give a shit if you work to 7 o'clock. My day ends at 5, maybe 5:30. So if this can wait until tomorrow, it's going to wait until tomorrow, because I'll be damned if I'm going to be one of the victims of this infinite workday. And then that right there is where you start talking about. I mean, your days start blending and it's like, what the fuck is the purpose of all of this? You know?
Yeah. And that particular case, that client, that's rare. He never calls. I mean, if he calls me after hours, it's probably something personal.
Yeah.
And that's usually why I answer the phone. But yeah, I don't get calls after 5. And unless it's a special client, I don't answer after 5.
Well, my business phone goes to the night attendant, and my cell phone goes to do not disturb. So I won't even see the call. So I will. I mean, I do check from time to time because I'm constantly on my phone, especially right before I go to bed, which is probably not a healthy thing. But I get caught up on any emails that I missed and any chatter in the family. A group chat, and I might say, oh shit, so-and-so called at 8:30. Oh, well, they didn't leave a voicemail or they didn't text me. Okay.
Guess it's must not have been that important.
Must not have been that important.
Also, Donovan, I'll consider you a friend. I have one other friend like that. And the one thing that you and my other friend makes you different is that whenever you call, you don't need anything from me. the two of you don't need me to do something, or you don't need to pick my brain. You just want to share something.
Well, I mean, you know,
that means a lot.
I do need you to pick me up from time to time.
yeah, but that's not the only time you call.
That's true.
I got a former student. We call ourselves friends, and he thinks we're best buddies because we were both in the military. Mm. I don't think we were there at the same time, but every time my phone rings and it's him, he doesn't want to chat. We have very little in common. Mm-hmm. He just wants to borrow the trailer or help him fucking move. Or help him move his daughter's shit because she's moving in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or grind these stumps. Or I need to make a date with your grapple.
Hell, man, why do you think I don't ever ask you? I don't bother you about the stumps over here that we never finished. I'm just like,
well, you should know it's on my mind.
Well, I figured when you decide you want to do it, you'll say, hey, you want to do these things. And I'll be like, yeah.
Yeah, it's coming. It's a pain in the ass to change the implements on the back.
Yeah.
But when I put the stump grinder on, I'm going to grind some around here. I'm going to leave it on and I'm going to put it on the trailer and I'll see you. I'll see you there.
Ben will be pulling up at 9 o'clock on a Saturday. I'm here to grind some stumps.
Nah, 3 o'clock on a Monday afternoon. That's
there you go.
That's what I like about our business model.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I really need to start making myself do more stuff. You know, I'm here. I am going, I set boundaries, but yet I still prevent myself from like getting outside and doing stuff around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's like, well, what if I get a call? What the fuck? So what if I get a call? You know what?
Yeah. Some people are busy.
Yeah.
Whenever you call them, sometimes they're busy. And if they're confident you'll call them back, no problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
My only concern is, you know, I'll have one under a ransomware attack and I'll call them back the next day.
Yeah. And everything's going to shit.
But I should have more than one phone call. I'll have alerts from monitoring and maybe hopefully notes from backups.
Yeah.
and EDR and yeah, all that shit. So yeah, you just gotta have faith that it's all going to be okay.
I mean, I could put a phone on my wife's desk and just say, hey, you know, calls going to my cell phone are supposed to, they work about 60% of the time. If I don't answer, sometimes I go to voicemail on the phone. Sometimes they get forwarded because I've got the no answer condition set to forward to my business line. I'm going to just put a phone on her desk and say, if this thing rings, answer. And if it's one of our clients going screaming bloody murder, come get me.
Otherwise, just take a message.
Yeah, just take a message.
Because daddy's busy.
Exactly. I'm cutting grass.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. The thing is, my clients never call the office number.
Mine don't either.
I don't have them trained.
That's the reason why I had to do a no answer forward on my cell phone. I mean, it doesn't do shit for texts. You can't do a no call, no answer forward on the text. But if they happen to call, it's like I say, if the call comes in and I deny it, it shoots over 100% of the time. If I just let it go, about 60% of the time, it'll go to the business line. 40%, it'll drop to voicemail on the phone, which I've got a voicemail on the phone that basically says, call the office number, you know?
Yeah. I will say I have been enjoying my weekends more now that I don't pick up my phone when I get up Saturday. It stays on the charger till Monday morning.
Really?
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I do see that you're usually in... not offline, but away mode in Discord.
Yeah.
I know,
most weekends I don't.
I probably need to do that more, but I'm just in this routine where every morning, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, I get up, take a shower. I go fix coffee. If it's Sunday, I start the coffee water and then I start getting all the clothes gathered up and, you know, separated out and start that washing. And then while I'm waiting on the coffee to finish or I'm drinking coffee, I'm sitting there reading what tragedies and, you know, who's trying to kill who, who's nuking who.
Oh, you're doom scrolling?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and I get a shit ton of emails that basically I do this, delete, 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 delete. Because they're notifications of like virtual machine backup notifications and shit like that. It's just like delete, 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 delete. And I don't set up a rule to just delete them because I need to make sure that they're doing it, you know?
Yeah.
So if I don't see it and then it's out of sight, out of mind. And then, you know, 2 months later, I'm like, oh shit, I need to restore that. And the last backup I had is 2 months ago. Yeah, no.
Now I don't have it tell me when it's successful. I'll have it tell me when it's overdue, like it's taken too long or if it failed for any reason or if worst case, no backups have been taken in within 72 hours.
I probably should do something like that.
I don't want to see all the times that it's doing its fucking job. I just want to know when it's not.
Yeah, the VMs, I could probably get away with that. I've got some backups that I have to check manually on the RMM because the machine that was being backed up died. So I had to move that backup to another machine, but yet the first machine kept notifying me of failed backups and I had to tell it stop notifying me, not realizing that it wasn't just going to stop notifying me on that machine. It stopped notifying me on all backups that had been created up until that point that I had scheduled up until that point. New ones after that now notify me, but I can never, and I asked tech support and you just have to stop, delete them and start over. And I'm like, crap.
That's a product we bought and integrated poorly.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
Yeah. It's crazy.
But yeah, so there's been a few times in the past 2 or 3 years that I'll go to bed just content with the day.
Okay, UPS guy.
I didn't hear it.
No, but I was staying silent because otherwise he's going to knock on the door and come in. This guy knows that I'm in here most of the time, but he saw the door was shut, so he put it at the door. So, but anyway, I'm sorry. Say that. So you go to bed content.
A few times in the past 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. I've gone to bed content. And honestly, I think it might be since the pandemic. You know, the pandemic started. I was like, fuck yeah. I don't have to go anywhere. I got a perfect excuse not to go on site.
Yeah.
Now I think I'm happier if I do leave the house, if I just go and see people and be seen and interact with, even though most of the time I hate people, but I go see people I know. I mean, I go see clients and employees of clients and just, you know, stay up to date.
I have a bad habit of not wanting to go somewhere. I was always an introvert growing up, you know?
Yeah. I was always awkward.
And, I could not speak in front of crowds or anything like that. And, you know, a lot of that's gone away over the last 20 years, in case I have to, but I was right there with you, man. I mean, as much tragedy as was happening around the pandemic, I was kind of like the same thing. It was like, I don't have to go anywhere. Much to my detriment, because I'd start drinking at 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's probably not good. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Your camera's frozen.
Yeah. I don't know if I can restart the camera or not.
You should be able to. You can turn the video. I think you can turn the video off and then turn it back on. There you go.
Yep.
You got tired?
Back certain.
Yeah. Mine's starting to. We're at about an hour 20 with just a little bit of bullshitting at the beginning. So,
but have we come to a conclusion?
See, I never figured we'd actually get to the conclusion, an actual definitive conclusion on purpose, because purpose to me is such a wide topic.
Yeah.
And I don't know. God, a psychologist or a psychiatrist here, that'd be great, right? I think I know somebody that...
If we only had a counselor.
I know, right? Somebody that could probably talk about these things is actually getting a degree.
I don't want to talk about it from a clinical standpoint.
I know.
Because that, no offense to Sam, but that's boring.
I know.
I mean, it's book work. It's not.
Believe it or not, though, and I'm not
applied.
I'm not applied
psychology.
I'm not advocating for him to do this. I'm just saying, he would probably surprise you that he would actually come at it from the non-clinical aspect.
Yeah. Well, so I did write one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we talking about this?
Because we're fucking depressed.
We need a sense of purpose. We need a reason to be here, a mm-hmm. reason to not kill ourselves.
Exactly. Exactly.
My only reason, I got more than one reason, but my biggest reason for
sticking around.
Yeah. My biggest reason for sticking around is because, after reading all the stuff I've read, I've come to the realization that this is the only experience that I will ever have.
Yeah.
I can't, there's no fucking do-overs. You don't get a mulligan in life. And I'm still alive. I'm pretty fortunate to live in this house and to have two healthy kids
mm-hmm.
and a good marriage. It could be worse. I'm not suffering. I'm just fucking bored, I guess. I'm bored and I feel like I could be more useful, but I'm stuck because money or life.
I heard something the other day that I thought was very poignant, and it's actually attributed to somebody else that said it, and I don't know who it was who actually said it, but let me see if I can get this right. A healthy man has 1,000 problems. A sick man only has one.
Yeah.
And that's
perspective.
And I think, yeah, and I think from that perspective is what it was getting at is the fact that it's almost like we go looking for problems. I'm not saying that's what we're doing.
No, I mean, we do. I mean, the problems we have are not to do with survival, which is what we would be as cavemen.
Yeah.
We got life figured out. We can feed ourselves. We are clothed and we are safe and dry. We have hot water.
Yeah. Toilets that flush, indoor plumbing. Yeah.
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 Grocery stores. We've got that part figured out. What else are we going to do? This, if we do nothing, we'll just be fat and probably diabetic.
You know, because sometimes I feel ashamed of, I don't know if ashamed is the right word, but there are times where I want to complain about something and I do my fair share of complaining. You know that?
Yeah.
But it's almost like I'm ashamed of complaining because it's like, look at, oh, woe is me. You know, I feel this way or I can't do that or I don't have a purpose. And then there, and I know this is a stretch, but then there are people literally getting deported out of the fucking country to places they've never even lived. And I'm like, I don't have any problems. Yeah. But then somebody comes
along. Could be worse.
Yeah. And then somebody comes along and says, no, it's okay. It's okay to feel bad. It's okay to wish things were different, even in your own life, even if everything in your life seems great.
Yeah. It is a matter of perspective. And I think there are some aspects of our, I won't call it depression, but our malaise.
That's a good word.
Could be overcome just by changing our minds about it. Just sure. We don't have those new switches to play with. My sports car is not really fast. it's fucking hot outside.
Yeah.
I don't want to go out there because I've got to put two layers of bug spray on just to keep the gnats from tickling every orifice.
Yep.
But it could be worse. I'm sitting in an air-conditioned room. I don't have to go out and kill my supper.
Right.
We have clean water. We assume. I have not tested it.
We have cold water. We have ice. We have stuff that we can heat up food so we don't have to eat it at room temperature or raw.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is perspective.
You know, church would tell you, oh, we have so much to be thankful for. Like, yeah, but what the fuck am I doing here? I'm just going to do this and then die? What?
Yeah, that's the reason why. That's the reason why even as alluring as religion can be, you know, and sometimes my mind will wonder and I'm like, would my life just be better if I would just embrace some form of religion? But my intellect will not let me go. My end goal is so that I can live a great life and get to heaven?
Yeah.
No, fuck that. You know, I just can't do it.
I would encourage anybody over the age 25 to try psychedelics because I will tell you, Donovan, I found God.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. But the God that I found is not the entity others speak of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not sentient. It's not omnipotent. It's not conscious. It's made of everything in the universe. Every particle is God. And it's all in perspective. It's what, I mean, God is what we made up.
Mm-hmm.
Bible's a story is made up by men.
That is true.
So therefore, God is whatever I decide God is. So they say God is all-knowing. Yeah, sure. God is everywhere. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's every particle in the universe. And we are made in his flesh. Everything is God. Anyway,
yeah,
psychedelics will open your mind so you can have that as a sensation, as a part of the universe. And it makes me feel weird saying it that way because I feel like I'm one of those hippies. We're all just one, man.
We're all connected.
But you begin to feel that and you go, holy shit, that tingling I feel in my fingers.
Mm-hmm.
as my blood pumps through him. But that sensation, that's the universe. At the atomic level,
yeah,
skin is the same as air.
I could see it.
So that's just, yeah.
I mean, if it was good enough for Steve Jobs and it helped him create Apple, because he was on LSD.
I need his regimen, because that shit that I'm getting is expensive. But psychedelics are not a daily activity.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard about people years ago about going on ayahuasca trips. Mm-hmm. Where you would go to a compound or something, and you would have, I forget what you call them, but it was the guy that was in charge, like the medicine guy or whatever.
Yeah.
And they would watch over you. And I have heard some stories where people like, man, it was the most eye-opening thing I've ever experienced. And other people are like, I puked my fucking guts up for the next two mm-hmm. days afterwards. And I'm like, that would be me. That would be me. I'd be the guy that would be fucking throwing up for the next 2 days. I wouldn't see God. I wouldn't see anything except a goddamn toilet.
Well, I mean, if you're expecting an image of God, you know, gray hair, gray beard, and booming voice and giving you messages, that's not going to happen.
No, I expect Morgan Freeman.
With gray hair and a gray beard.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'll probably wear a brown suit with a blue shirt.
Yeah. That's what I expect.
Not going to happen.
I know.
Oh. Yeah, so they talk a lot about set and setting. So you got to be in the right environment.
Yeah.
But yeah, my dabbling was all solo. But you know, I didn't. I just told Beth, I don't need you there. I just need you to make sure I don't get up and walk and try to go get in the pool.
Because I will.
I don't
drown.
Know where I'll be. I just need to stay in that room. That's all you need. That's all I need you to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I think I'm okay with my Super 7s. That's the one thing I was going to say is when I take the little bit that I do take, and now it's too late, so I can't take it and get up in the morning. But when they finally do kick in, it's like there's a weight that's just lifted off my brain, and it's like everything is good.
And I think that's why I was doing it every night. I mean, I wasn't getting stoned.
Yeah.
But I was just relaxing. But I do think it was eroding my ambition to do anything. Because I got to a point where I was like, you know, I've not told anybody that I'm going to be anywhere any time today. Whatever I could do, I could wait till tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And that stacked up a lot of shit. My to-do list was pages.
Yeah. That's definitely not good. Definitely not good.
Yeah. I thought it was good for me because it allowed me to relax and I could respond to emergencies. I could fix things. I could keep it together long enough to tell somebody what went wrong and get everything right. But if nobody called, I called nobody.
That's kind of the reason why I kind of do it. I try to stick to doing it on Friday and Saturday nights.
Yeah. But I mean, I was doing it every night. Just like, all right, this is my go to sleep routine.
Yeah.
This guarantees that within 15 minutes, I'll be unconscious.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'll lay here for 2 hours. And then do it anyway.
I think it was last week or week before. I was doing a couple of times during the week. There was that one Monday. I don't know what happened, but I took it like between 5 and 5:30. And within a half hour, I'm sitting in the couch and the TV is, I'm like, is this TV? Am I watching TV? What am I doing? And I finally just had to get up. I said, I got to lay down. And I woke up when Oriana came to tell us goodnight at 10 o'clock. And I was like, oh, I got to go lock the door. And Lee's like, she's already taken care of it. You just go back to bed. So I got out of my clothes, got in the bed, and woke up the next morning. I was like, damn, that hit hard. But And all Lee had to say about it was, well, I think you needed the rest. I think you might have been right.
Well, it is different from alcohol.
Yeah.
I tried to go back to whiskey, trying to get to sleep, but that quit working. Mm. I ended up drinking 2 glasses and I would go to sleep, but I'd wake up with a headache.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. they tell you that the worst thing to actually try to go to sleep is drinking alcohol. And they're right.
Milk and cookies only go so far.
Yeah, that's true. That's true too. Well, I'm glad I'm like, I forget the days, but I'm over 2 years dry now. So, or as my alcohol retirement, as I call it. And
yeah,
I'll probably never go back, or I might be 65 and go, I want a beer, you know, but for the now, it didn't solve all the problems in my marriage, but you know, you got to stop and think, dude, how many people do you know that have been married as long as we have, and me and Lee, 35 years? It's very uncommon with Gen Xers, very yeah. uncommon. And I mean, we were well on our way to probably a divorce if I'd continued, because it was just exacerbating small problems into big problems. And so getting off of it allowed me to basically get my head right and figure out that, okay, she's not 100% at fault. I'm definitely at fault on some of the stuff, but she is still also at fault in some of this stuff. And, you know, we've slowly worked through that stuff too.
I bet a lot of it comes down to communication.
Communication and sex. There's no way
sex requires communication.
It does. It does. And it doesn't help when you have a wife that is going through the pre and menopausal.
Yeah.
So
I can understand that. That it's a natural part of life, I guess.
It is. It is. And to be fair to her, and I've seen this from my own eyes, the information out there from all of the medical community is complete horseshit. You know, nobody really knows. You got this doctor over here that's like, well, I can do, you know, hormone replacement therapy, and it'll do this. You got, you know, another section of doctors over here saying, well, we do this. Then you've got the homeopathic of, you know, snort this and shove that up your ass and everything will be hunky dory, you know, that kind of stuff. And these women aren't, I mean, she can't even talk to her own mother. Her mother will not talk to her about this. So, you know, there are these communities online, and you know how that goes. You're going to a bunch of fucking crackpots in there. And yeah. So I get it. It's a lot. And for us men, we're never trained. We're never taught. We're never told that at some point in your life, your significant other, your significant other is a female, you're going to wish that she would run over your ass with a lawnmower because of all the shit you're having to deal with being with her while she deals with this shit. It's just fucking phenomenal. And I mean, I still love her as much today as I've always have, but it is stressful. And I joke with her about this too. I'm like, you started hitting this stride right when I quit drinking. God damn.
Timing is everything.
I was like, shit. Now I've got two things I love that I can't get on a regular basis. Damn it. Oh, God. You know, we probably should wrap it up right there.
Well, what can we do to reduce depression? Even if we can't solve the whole purpose thing. One thing I've read with consistency is exercise.
Yeah.
And of course, diet.
I can't change my diet anymore. I mean, I'm barely eating
I'm not saying you have to improve it. I'm just saying it has an impact. So if you're eating fucking fast food and donuts every day, you probably don't feel like exercising.
Yeah, we rarely eat fast food around here.
Yeah, I ate McDonald's yesterday because I was on the road too long. And I knew as soon as I ate it, I was like, fuck, I could have made it home.
I don't care. When we do eat fast food, we're kind of particular. We like Arby's. I know some people shit all over Arby's. I don't care.
No, I eat Arby's. I just hate that they don't have a side item that's not fried.
I mean, I love the curly fries. That's my jam. But
yeah, I try to stay away from fried stuff.
I eat fried foods all the time because I'm just like, you know, fuck it. This is what I like. And I tried to go toward more of the let's do the bake stuff. I didn't feel any different, you know? So, but I also made sure that, like, whenever I cook fries and tater tots here, I cook in actual lard. I do not cook in, like, all these fancy damn sprays and oils and shit, because as much as they tout that stuff as being healthy, I've read too many reports that said, yeah, this shit's not good for you. And, you know, I may be being a little pedantic here, but if it was good enough for my grandmama and my grandpappy, they cooked shit in lard and they lived to be like, you know, 70 something.
That's long enough for me.
Yeah. I figure if I make it past 72, I'm living on borrowed time anyway, but who knows? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've tried, I can't do the exercising thing. And when I say, you know, can't in air quotes, there was a time that every afternoon I would go and I'd walk around my backyard while listening to a podcast, and I'd walk for about 40, 45 minutes. And I found that I really did enjoy that. But then it got fucking hot. Best time of doing that is, you know, like February and March, and then what now? November and December, what, the 4 months we actually have cold weather?
Yeah. Or you could just get out there at 5 a.m.
Yeah, I'm doing good to get up at you know, a little after 5 every morning. So, I mean, if I was going to do that, I would actually be, I want to do my morning radio show. I'd be up in here. I'd be in here at 5:30 doing a 2-hour radio show.
So do it on a treadmill.
Yeah, the only treadmill we've ever had, we gave away to Brother Charlie several years ago because the belt kept slipping on it and I couldn't fix it. So I said, fuck it, and gave it away. That's somebody else's problem.
We moved in here and we moved the treadmill upstairs. It's going to be sold with the house. The fucking thing is not coming back down. Uh-huh. Only way it comes downstairs while I live here is if the house burns down.
I hear you. It's just some things aren't meant to be upstairs. I mean, that's like trying to put a fucking baby grand piano upstairs. Why? Why would you do that? That shit goes on the first floor.
Yeah, you're right. Because I want a pool table, and the only room we have for it is upstairs. But I'd be damned if I'm going to be one of the 12 motherfuckers it's going to take to get it up the stairs.
You have a window big enough, you just bring in a crane and crane it in.
We might could just crane it in.
Yeah, that's probably what you'd have to do. Or you have to build it in place. Get one of those that you could have it torn apart and then put it back together.
Yeah.
Because if you get the regular kind, you won't get the kind. If you get the traditional type, they'll just have the nets. They won't have ball returns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want one of those.
Yeah. So they're a little bit easier to put together. I mean, Sears used to, you know, when they were a thing, used to sell pool tables in their catalogs. I always thought that was wild. They did the small ones, and then they actually did the regulation ones.
My friend ordered one off of Amazon.
Yeah.
And he ended up sending it back, and then he bought like a decent one, but they craned it in. It was on an upper level of the house.
Yeah, there you go. As everything's engineered to hold it.
And I think maybe getting out and seeing people or spending time with people whose company you enjoy.
Yeah.
Like that guy in the UPS store today. You're not being invited to a party.
Oh my God. I don't want to talk about people, but let's talk about,
he won't be missed.
Wow. He was definitely,
special.
You know, when someone just starts interjecting into your conversation that, and suddenly, I mean, immediately he was an expert on everything.
Yeah. And you didn't have to tell him that we're in IT. I never tell people that shit.
Yeah, I still have a little bit of an ego problem. So when people start trying to talk to me like they know some shit, I'm trying to politely tell them, you need to stop talking because this is what I do for a living.
No, I'd rather them accost me with their stupidity than find out what I do and then ask the dumbest questions.
Yeah.
I'm in IT. Oh, I have this Facebook problem.
I gotta learn.
Oh, shit. You should have said something. Let me call Zuck. We'll get this sorted out.
Yeah, I got it. I got to do better.
Farmville, you say? Farmville? Yeah, we'll get the, right on that.
Yeah.
Don't you worry.
I got to do better about that. I got to keep my damn mouth shut. Ego be damned.
Yeah. I've already started making up shit to tell people when they ask me what I do. If they don't already know, like I'm at a party at a neighbor's house and I meet people I don't know. What do you do? I'm a Olympic sprinter. Or I'm a retired astronaut.
Hey, you could always, I don't know how this would go, but, and we both can say this, but you can say, I'm a podcaster.
Yeah.
What do you do? I'm a podcaster.
Or, I'm an influencer.
Yeah.
That is somehow not any better.
No, that's not any better. Because then you got to like, really? You on TikTok, YouTube? Where you at?
Mm-mm. Yeah. Just, go and search Hubble of Dub.
Yeah.
You'll find it. Super popular.
At least people now know what a podcast is. Back when Lee and I were doing the Uncorked podcast, she'd tell the cashiers, you know, they'd be like asking about the wine. And she's like, my husband and I do a podcast where we rate the wine. And they're like, a what? So she would explain it to them. Now you just say, yeah, I'm a podcaster. Really? What kind of show do you do?
Yeah, I think I can't remember. I told somebody because it was the day we were doing one of the South Geek shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, we're going to do a podcast. Like I wanted to do something that night or you got any plans for the night or some shit like that. I was like, oh yeah, I'm recording a podcast. And they seemed like they were impressed. I was like, oh, okay. So you're impressed. I could always go, I'm retired CIA, because then I can't talk about what I do.
That's true.
What I did.
That is true. Yeah.
And I don't have to prove it either.
Yeah. I'm retired CIA. Didn't you used to work at CityNet? That was just a cover.
Yeah. Did you see me there every day?
Weren't you fired from there? No, also, I had to go deep undercover.
That was part of the ruse.
Yes.
Fucker. Don't tell my wife.
Oh, that's hilarious. I don't know. I think you're probably right. I mean, my wife would love, she's constant. She's like, you never take me anywhere. I'm like, where the hell do you want to go? That doesn't cost money, you know, but
LSD, man.
Probably would be beneficial for both she and I to get out more together for sure.
I mean, go to America's or wherever that is and see the telephone museum.
Why would I want to see the telephone museum? I saw Danny Sterling's.
This one's bigger.
Hey, you've seen one, you've seen them all.
Man, we've around the corner from the hotel in Albuquerque a few years ago when we went. There was a fucking telephone museum. And we went into there.
What is cool is in Seattle, there is I think it's the telephone museum. Tyler actually took pictures of it, I think. It's like two stories. And I was like, that's cool. Plus, I think they had some computer stuff in there too. Maybe it was a hodgepodge of both of them. It was just like old electronics type stuff. I'd have to ask him again because that's been a couple of years. But
I don't know if it's America's or hell, it could be in Plains, but it's in that area.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a professionally curated. I mean, it's a personal collection, but it's vast.
You never saw Danny's, did you?
Cars in there. No.
I have to go back and see if I can find the old pictures because it was in the main plant building over there on 82.
Hmm.
And it took up an entire huge room. And I asked him, I said, can I take pictures? He's like, yeah, go ahead. Huh. So I've got them somewhere in a photo roll, probably right next to the porn. But
but yeah, get out and see something. Just take a drive.
Yeah, you probably
take a place and take a drive.
Yeah.
Now, I don't like events. I don't like live sports games. I don't like concerts. I probably wouldn't mind a trip to see a symphony orchestra. I'm not going to do a theme park, but I'm looking forward to this trip we're taking next month.
You ever thought about going to any of those Rock the Block stuff that they do here in Tifton on Friday nights?
Nope.
Yeah, I thought about it, and then I had another thought to just beat the shit out of that one, and I was like, I don't want to get all up in that crap.
Yeah, I don't want to be with people. I don't mind being with people I wouldn't mind being around, but you never know.
Yeah. I don't know who I'm going to run into.
I did a couple of weeks ago. I went and played pickleball for the first time.
I've been interested in that.
My daughter's gotten into it. And mm-hmm. So she goes 2-3 nights a week. And Beth and Braden were out of town. So it was just me and Annika here. And I've always declined her offers to go because I just don't want to go. Mm-hmm. Pickleball's not interesting. But it was just the two of us that week. And I decided I'll go. And you know what? I had a pretty good time. Mm. I met a guy about my age. Nobody asked me what I did. I didn't ask anybody what they do. They were just there to play pickleball. And they weren't super egomaniacs. We had a good laugh, did our best, sweated a lot, and it was a good time. And everybody there was approachable.
Yeah.
So more of that.
That's an outdoor court. Not an indoor court, outdoor court.
Yeah.
I thought it was so cool. I mean, you basically take ping pong and tennis and combined it into just a different sport.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, I might want to try that one day.
It's physically demanding. It required a level of fitness I no longer possess.
Don't we still have the axe throwing place here?
I don't know. Shit like that doesn't last.
Yeah. I remember it was a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, it opened up. It was, I think it was around the time that they did that Christmas movie here where they had to did it in the middle of summer. And so they had to fake the fact that it was supposed to be wintertime. And I want to think that they actually did something in that place. But anyway, I don't know if it's still there or not. I have to look it up.
Yeah, I haven't been across it. Wasn't it downtown?
No, it was. I thought it was on like the outskirts of the county or something. So honestly, well, I don't remember.
It could still be there, but I've never heard anybody talking going there. But I don't talk to a lot of people.
I hear you. I talk to you. I talk to my wife. I talk to my son, and I talk to some of my clients. I haven't even spoken to Walt in almost a year now. And
I haven't spoken to my brother all year. His son just graduated college. His younger son just graduated college. I didn't go.
I mean, I would go months without talking to my mom. I talked to
my mom maybe 3 times this year.
And after she passed, I was like, you stupid son of a bitch. You know, it's like, why didn't you take more time? Because it was always an irritant for me. I mean, I loved my mom, don't get me wrong, but I got so sick and tired about hearing what was going on in the extended family that I didn't give 2 shits about, you know?
I can relate.
You know?
So it's something going on with extended family.
Mm-hmm.
A work story. She's retired, still telling work stories. or some criticism about me.
Yeah.
That's not adding value.
Yeah. I mean, after Devin moved to California, almost every conversation I'd have with my mom was, have you heard from Devin? No, mom. Well, that rascal won't call me. He said he, and I try to call him and I just leave a voicemail and he won't ever pick up almost every single time. And I was like, mom, he's a grown ass man. I can't make him talk to you. Well, he promised. He said he told me he'd have his phone. He could always talk to me. And I'm like, he got out there in a completely different culture and checked the fuck out for a while is what I felt like he did.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't help that, mom. You know, I can't make him talk to you. Shit. He didn't talk to me for a year. I said something. I said, I sent him a message and I said, look, do me a favor. Talk to your grandma. It was either the grandma or talk to your mom. It was one of the two. And he got pissed off because I was treating him like a child and just stopped communicating with me for a little while. He's since gotten out of that somewhat. But I mean, I haven't actually spoken to him vocally 8 years, probably 8 years. He's in our family chat. He might say something in there 2 or 3 times a month now. It's very fleeting. But yeah, probably just getting out and being more mobile and seeing things. And quite honestly, that you're not telling me something that my wife hasn't been pushing me on, especially with this whole Tifton Talks thing. She keeps telling me, if you want to grow it, you got to get out and actually meet people and talk to people and take pictures and do videos and stuff. And I'm like,
city council meetings
and go to fucking city council meetings, which I used to
school board meetings.
Yeah. That's the part of it I probably will never do. I'm, you know, if I could ever afford it, I'll be like, hey, you want to make $50? Go record this damn meeting and bring me the video footage back. You know,
I feel like I would sit in there and just be entertained.
I've sat in enough council meetings. I don't need any more, but
well, the simulation is optimized for entertainment.
It is. All right. Well, I say we wrap it up here. It's targeting 7:30 now, and
we're about 90 minutes in now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're 2 hours total, but I'm gonna cut out probably about 20 minutes of the first because I was recording from the time we got on the call.
All right. Well, to anybody who's made it this far, thanks for sticking around, and sorry it was so long. It'll probably be long again next time.
Probably. I mean,
if we ever publish this fucking show.
I don't think the first two are going to make it.
I'm on that page. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this one might be the first one because we're legitimately talking about something that we still can't answer 100%.
But I don't think anybody can. And maybe that's what's relatable about it.
Yeah. I think some other people would listen to it and go, I feel the same way. I don't know.
So we get a good friend group going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll just see. I don't know.
Yeah. We haven't said anything novel, but
I don't think
it's
about
reaching out and we're just reaching out. Say, yeah, we probably feel the same as others. We just don't know it because nobody talks anymore.
That's true. That is true.
And nobody wants to admit the kind of shit we're talking about.
Yeah. That's one final thing I'll say on that is as I've gotten older, I think I've opened up more than I used to. I used to be really guarded and afraid to talk about these types of things. Now,
we didn't want to be seen as weaker or whatnot. But I think my ego has collapsed thanks to drugs. And I think that's a good thing. And so I'm a lot more candid.
Yeah.
I'm not as hateful. So that's probably a plus too.
Well, I'm an elder Gen Xer, so I just don't give a shit anymore. I mean, that's the whole motif of all of us Gen Xers, whether you were born in 65 or whether you're born in 80, we just don't care.
I think it's just where we are in life.
Probably.
And society at large.
Yeah. Because if you'll notice, there's more and more and more stuff on social media and the interwebs about Gen X now than there was 2 or 3 years ago. And, it is so hilarious to see some of the videos on YouTube where millennials and Zoomers, they do these videos. They're like, Gen X was hardcore, guys. Did y'all know that they did this shit when they were growing up? It was like, yeah, we did. That's the reason. And some of the funniest ones are like, you just don't fuck with a Gen X, man. Just don't do it.
Yeah,
it's hilarious, but I don't know. Hopefully we'll publish this one. I feel like we need to. I don't think we said anything in this one that would harm anybody.
Nah, I don't think so.
It's just truth.
It's our truth.
I mean, that's all that matters, right?
I don't think any group's going to get together and riot about it. So
I don't know.
Apple stores are safe.
It could be another rendition of the No Kings protest.
Whatever that was. I read one thing about it that said might have actually been effective because everybody was peaceful and nobody got hurt.
Well, one person died, but
I didn't read that.
Yeah.
Because I only read one tweet about it.
Fuck Twitter. You actually have to go to real news sources, dude.
No.
Anyway.
Because Elon Musk keeps saying that X is the number one app in the news category in the UK.
Well, if you want misinformation, yes, it is.
I don't know. It depends on who you follow, man.
All right. I'll stop recording now. Bye, everybody.